Chapter 2, verse 42. And maybe after I finish, I'm not going to be trying to be too long tonight. Maybe Brother Gary will come back up, sing a couple of choruses before we pray tonight, just for a change. And praise God. Let's turn to, and I want for a few moments, I have quite a lengthy reading in Matthew in a moment, but let's read Acts 2:42, and I want to talk about the apostles' doctrine. And there's a lot of things in it, but a couple of things I want to maybe bring out tonight. There's about seven things in it, really, you could bring out, but I won't have time tonight and everything. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Let's bow our heads again tonight. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. And we praise you tonight for the words of the songs we've been singing. What a privilege we have, Lord Jesus. Lord, when Adam and Eve failed you, and Lord, you come in the midst of the garden calling for them, seeking for them. And Lord, we know that no man seeks after God, but you seek after man. You're a seeking Savior. And we thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, that if we do seek and hunger and thirst after you, after righteousness, Lord, you promised we shall be filled. Lord, tonight we are hungering and thirsting and seeking after righteousness tonight, and we're coming to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you for your word, for Calvary, for the finished work, for Pentecost, for everything you've done for us, Lord, we're glad. But Lord, we pray that you'll move every one of us again. Breathe afresh upon us the Holy Spirit. I do take the Holy Ghost tonight to help my Lord in Jesus' precious name, and I thank you that you will. Pray for every hand raised, you know, every individual need. Ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll meet every single need, Lord. And Father, for all the services that lay ahead, just have your way. Lord, for the needs tonight, the brothers already prayed, Andrew and George and the different ones tonight, we pray you'll have your way and touch them. Minister on them, and Brother Jacob's over in England as well. Father, just touch him. Lord, just have your way in every one of these lives, and for children, for families, save them, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, have your way amongst us tonight. Just speak to us for a while from your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. This is a wonderful scripture. There's so many thoughts and scriptures in the book of Acts. And Matthew's putting it down as 16. It's not important that it's 16. It's just for Matthew. The other one that went up last Thursday was 15. Praise God. But the new converts here continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And we are warned, we are actually warned. The thing that amazes me is how many people don't want the apostles' doctrine. They say we don't need it. They say it's passed away, but the Bible warns us. We are to build on no other foundation than that which has been laid by the holy apostles and prophets. That's the foundation. We're to build on and upon no other. The seed of the word, the Bible talks about falling on good ground, bad ground, and Matthew 13 talks about the seed. Let me just read some of it. I might not read all of it. Let me read some of it. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up, and some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell in good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold and sixtyfold and some thirtyfold. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and saith unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. And I want to pause for a moment, because some people think we don't need to know anything, but I believe we do. I believe the word of God, that it says knowledge shall be increased in the last days. And I believe the word of God says my people suffer for lack of knowledge. But we have no excuse in this age we're living in, because we know that God sent the spirit of Elijah, a heart-turning spirit, to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. And then in Revelation 10:7 tells us that the mysteries of God are to be finished. The original says declared, made known. And here Jesus is talking to them in mysteries, but it's not for them all. The mysteries is not for them all. And they're all not going to see it. And there are some things that God can show you, and you could tell it to other people and they won't believe it and they won't see it. You could have a visitation from the Lord. You could have an experience, whether it's with an angel or the Holy Spirit. You could tell it and people might not believe it, but you know it's real. It's not for them. And here are these parables, and it's a exact same with the word of God. You know, and you can get a better preacher or the best preacher you want, but I'll tell you, the word that's preached falls on all different types of ground. And you know, you could have somebody, if you're bound to hear it said, like your fella's not really an outstanding preacher, but yet God seems to use him. I've heard that said many times about men. Because the Lord's using them. It's not our ability that does it. And when we think it has something to do with our ability that can make God work or make God to turn, that's wrong. It's God's ability. But when the Holy Spirit comes on a man or a woman, I believe then they can move in God's ability. Do you understand that? That is the ability of God, but it's not of ourselves, it's the Holy Ghost. And the disciples had that ever moving in the Holy Spirit, which was God's ability then, all right. But this seed fell in the different ground, and sometimes it didn't bring anything forth, but it wasn't the fault of the seed. It's the fault of the ground, it's different ground. Now I know this, you might think this is way off from what I'm talking about, but it's not really, I don't think. I don't know if you've ever seen that Clarkson Farm. There's a whole thing on it, and you don't need television or anything if you've got Netflix. You might even see it on YouTube. But Clarkson went over to other Holland to see how they do things. And he met a young man there. And that young man was taking potato crops of the same ground his father had for years. But he was taking 3 or 4 times more than his father ever did, because he surveyed the ground with this machine. And he had a way of doing the ground, and when he did the ground, when he went over the ground, he had a wee machine for doing it, and he could put it all on the computer and everything. But let's say that marks the field, just for talk's sake. He could see when he surveyed it that this quarter here needed more fertilization, more nourishment than the other bit. The other bit was producing more. So to catch this bit up, he added more to it in way of manure, fertilization, whatever he used. And Clarkson got him to come over to England and all the rest of it, and they did it. But it was interesting how the scan could scan the ground, and it could see the good ground and the bad ground, and how the way they worked with it. And I'll tell you, there's a scan from heaven. And this is why the whole thing's down to predestination with God. He sees the whole ground, and he knows where the seed's going. And that seed will fall in the right place. I'll tell you that right now. It always has, and it always will. But sometimes you might think the seed's fallen and nothing's happened. But here, this is the Lord Jesus talking. Do you think when he spoke he had good seeds? I believe he had. But it didn't work for everybody, because many of them were full of unbelief. They didn't want it. There's people don't want it. It's like people today, if I seen God doing this and seen God doing that, I'd believe. They wouldn't believe. They still wouldn't believe that it's some excuse. Look at the miracles God has done, and still people are skeptical. But there is a group of people that will believe it. Always remember that. There is the good ground, and there is the seed that can fall in the good ground, and it can bring forth. And I'll tell you, these disciples, when they sowed, and this the words the Lord warns of, verse 14, and in them it was filled. Let me go back to verse 12. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath more, abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, saying, which saith, by hearing ye hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed up, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with the heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily, verily, I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear these things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And when God gives us the truth, we cannot turn away from it. Now understand what I'm saying tonight. There's people in these last days. The Bible's warned us. Many will depart from the faith. And there's so many people departing from the truth. And then they try other things, and it'll never satisfy, because you can't substitute the truth with someone that's not the truth. And they end up doing nothing. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside, but he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word in Annan with joy receiveth it, yet hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. How many times have we seen people and they're on fire for a few months, maybe a year, and then you never see them again? Then there's other people in there a bit slower, and they're maybe not fast enough for some. And some people think, yeah, here, boy, they're not coming on quick enough. But in 10 years' time, they're still going. It's like Brother John used to say years ago, go slow, keep low, and the power will show. And there's something about being steady. Steady Eddie, they used to say. But there's something about being steady, isn't there? And God wants his people to be going on. Overcomers are steady. They're not easily turned back. They're overcomers. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus talks about these type of people. That's no root. Verse 22, he also received seed among thorns, and birthed the word, and the cares of the world, and deceitfulness and riches choke up the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. These are all parables of the Lord about the good seed. Now, I don't even know why I read that, but I read it. But it's true. I believe I felt led to read it. Because, look, there's people, I've baptized people, and they've gone on with the Lord, and they're still going on. And I've baptized your people, and they haven't lasted for a month. Now, somebody says you should never have baptized them. Well, I'll tell you what, you could join the brethren and become a pope like that if you wanted. And you could make them sit at the back for a year and not let them do this and do that. It's not up to me. I can't live it for them, and you can't. It's down to the Lord. You'll baptize some saints and you'll baptize some devils. Now God might show you and he might not. That's down to the Lord. God could show you. Sure, the Lord could show you. But that's the way it is. And that's the same with that seed. It can fall in good ground or bad ground. We could go out of this meeting tonight, somebody could say to me at the back, "Brother, that was a wonderful word." It doesn't happen often, but anyhow. And somebody else could say, "I got nothing out of it." You could go to a meeting and think you never got one thing out of it. But one person in that meeting, God could have talked to them. That could have been for one person. That's the truth. But we need a pull on the Word of God, don't we? We need to expect. Now, the apostles' doctrines simply define in the book of Hebrews in seven steps. Seven steps. The apostles' doctrines are defined. And all are revealed in the operation in the book of Acts except perfection. And perfection's not in the book of Acts, but it's dealt with in the epistle to the Hebrews. So six of the doctrines are through the book of Acts, and the doctrine of perfection, what the apostles talk about, is the book of Hebrews. Now I'm not going to, I'll name you these the seven things that they are, but I'm not going to preach on them all tonight. I'm only going to look at a couple of things for way of time. The first one's repentance from dead works. That was a doctrine they had. They preached repentance from dead works. Number two, faith toward God. Number three, doctrine of baptisms, because there's more than one baptism. There's a baptism in water and there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptisms. Number four is laying on of hands. That's what they did. Now you think of these seven things. If this is what the apostles' doctrines was, we must continue them. If we're saying we want what they had and we're back to what they were, we must do what they're doing. If we don't, you might say, "Well, they're not to that standard." Well, we need to keep trying to get to it. We need to believe for it. Amen. When you restore someone, it's back to the original condition. Like whatever it is. And God has the original. The resurrection from the dead. Number five. Number six, eternal judgment. Number seven, perfection of the saints. And people say, "You'll never be perfect down here." Well, I could show you scriptures and argue the point that that's not accurate. That the Bible did say you can be. Because we're perfect in Christ. Amen. We're perfect through him. It's what he done for us. Didn't Brother Branham say, if God asks for something, he will make a way for it, or he'll not ask for it? So if he asks for something, he has to make a way to provide that something he asks for if we're to do it. He makes a way for it. And we're perfect through his cleansing blood. We're perfect. He doesn't look at us and see one dot of sin. We're washed totally clean. There's nothing left, but it's all clean. The early church recognized the importance of sound doctrine. And we need in this day, I know it's not all about doctrine, but I believe we need sound doctrine. How many believe that tonight? Sound doctrine. In the last days, many shall depart from the faith, being seduced with doctrines of devils. And I tell you so much on today, being seduced by doctrines of devils. When you look at the nominal church world today and the ecumenical movement and all the movements and the healing ministries that's out there today. Now, listen to me for a moment tonight. I'm not saying God's not healing the people. I believe he is. The devil's not a healer. But it's all about money. And it's all about money. And some of them even have the cheek to say, "So and the Lord will heal you." Now you show me in the Bible where God preached that, where the Lord preached that. The Bible says come without money. It actually says come without money. And you think of William Branham when he said there's missionaries haven't even got shoes on their feet. And he blasts them for begging for money and stuff. And missionaries not even shoes on their feet, real missionaries. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Isn't that exactly what they're doing with William Branham's message now? How many people's doing it? Because there is false teaching all over the world around message groups. Many people are throwing out the whole, the guy said the other week, the baby with the bathwater. They're throwing the whole lot out. Brother Branham's message is correct. It is right. It is true. It is vindicated by God. But that doesn't mean you have to swallow everything that comes under the banner of message groups. They could be as far away from it as a million miles. Many of them are. But that does not change the fact God sent a real prophet and a real message, which is true. And we should hear it and listen to it. And the devil doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to throw the whole thing out. And people are leaving. They're saying they come out of the message. They come out of a cult. Many of them saying. Well, I'll tell you what. The real thing's not a cult. And I'll tell you, if you ever get in Christ Jesus, why would you come out? What had they got? What had they really got? I'll tell you what they had. I've heard it. They get up to the front and they say, I came and I joined this group. And I came to follow the message, to know the message. And it's wonderful and praise God. And that's their testimony. Well, I'm sorry, that's not a testimony. You may as well say you joined Orange Lodge. And you walked with Orange Men with a sash on you in the 12th. You've identified with Orange Men. That's good. But William Branham preached it. You must identify with Christ. And I tell you, somebody might know anything at all. Jack Coe said he didn't know anything at all. But God saved him. God delivered him. And he said a man in his tent one night, never been in a meeting in his life, never heard scriptures or nothing. And he got saved and he started running around shouting, hot dog, I've got it. Hot dog, I've got it. He got saved. Holy Ghost moved on him. He didn't know anything. Another fellow, he didn't know anything. He knew one wee thing from Sunday school and he just kept singing, twinkle, twinkle, little star. I wonder where you are. He didn't know nothing else. But God touched him. There was real conversions. And I told you the other night, and I was serious about it, and I'm not going to say where, but it's going round. It's going round big time now, the certificate group. Well, I'll tell you what, they need bashed. You say, why? Because for years, they condemned every single denomination hard. Now they have turned back the sow to the wallow in the mud, and the dog to the vomit. When you read that Simon Church Age book and you get into that and you see where the Catholic Church was the first organized church and then the rest of them daughters, page 290, you read from there through and you'll see it. And you say, but what about the original sermons you preached in the Church Ages? They're even better than that book. And that book will tell you in every age, William Branham said Pentecostal was a theme in every single age, and in his sermons of it, and I have the book form of every sermon he preached on it. And I've read every one of them, and I've read the book as well. The blue book, it used to be, it's red now. And Pentecost was a theme, but they don't want it no more. But these apostles wanted it. They wanted it. Now, there might be a lot of stuff about that don't want it, but that shouldn't stop us. We should be the good seed. That take the word, that want to bring forth the real thing, and don't throw out William Branham's messages because some groups organized and brought out a lot of false doctrines. Stick with the real thing. Amen. Look at Timothy chapter 4 here, verse 6. Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 13 and 16. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 13, till I come, give attendance to the reading, to the exhortation, to doctrine. This is what they preached. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So listen, this is what I'm trying to say. Maybe I'm going around on the wrong roads.
But if God sent a man in the spirit of Elijah to bring us back through the Spirit of God to the real true doctrine of this Bible, how can we throw it out? We can't. We must continue in sound doctrine. We don't worship the man and we don't go all what's round it, but that doesn't change the fact God's vindicated and God's done it. We must continue in it. Amen. Because it'll bring us back to the Bible. When did you ever hunger more for the supernatural? When you heard that ministry and saw the discernment. There's nothing ever about that's even close to it. Let me tell you, I've never read or seen nothing even close to it. It was God doing it. And he chose a wee humble man to do it. And they can come on internets and YouTubes and all that stuff, whatever they want to come on till, and they can come out and say, well, this wasn't right and someone else wasn't right. None of it interests me. Do you know why? Because I can see in this Bible, in Malachi 4, 5 and 6, for God said Elijah's coming. And I can see in Matthew 17, 11, Jesus said, alas, truly shall first come, speaking of the future. Then he says he has come, talking of John the Baptist. But you received it not. We can say the same today, they never received it. But there is people that will receive it. They'll want it. They won't throw it out. What will you go back to? The wallowing in the mud. How can you say when God shows you the truth on the Godhead, how can you change it? If it's really a revelation from God, it can't be changed. If God showed us the truth in water baptism, how can we then say, no, we'll tell you what, we'll start calling three titles. How can we do it? Let's come back to the mud. That's exactly what the early church done. Rome organized. They organized. And they formed. And the Protestant churches took their doctrines and broke off. And that's how you got your harlot on her little daughters. In Revelations, that's the truth. But God will have a people. God will have a people. And God has a people. And there's a people that God still tonight wants the truth. Look at Hebrews 13 verse 9. And I'm near finished, praise God. Hebrews 13 verse 9. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. For it is good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Good doctrine. So somebody said, never worry about doctrine. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture doesn't tell us, don't worry about doctrine. The scripture tells us we're to have the right doctrine. We're to have good doctrine. We're to preach good doctrine. We're to teach good doctrine. Yes, we're to evangelize. We're to do all these things. But this is part of it. This is part of what they did. And it won't put nobody away. People were ought to tell them when they preach the true doctrine. Let me read you this from the revelation of Jesus Christ. To see the beginning of the church age and to see how the apostles, the doctrines and the things they taught and the principles of the Bible. And then to see that church about the second round of apostles, how it began to fade away. The real true teaching, the third round getting away. By the fourth round it had faded out into lukewarm. The church brought forth a lukewarm church. And then the spirit-filled church, which I say this with godly respect to every man's religion. From the beginning till this time, the real true church has been a Pentecostal church. Now this is from the church age book, from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is, he says, the real true church is always, it didn't become one, it always was a Pentecostal church. So for ministers to get up and say, we are message preachers, and we don't want Pentecost, where are they getting it from? I'll tell you what, see if they don't want Pentecost, they didn't talk about being part of the bride. Because the bride is a Pentecostal bride, I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you better if she's not going. Because you had to be filled with the Holy Spirit to go. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're Pentecostal. Amen. That's the Bible. That's the truth. Amen. Well, you can say oh me or amen. Either way, it's the truth anyhow. Isn't it the truth? How many believes that's the truth? Listen to this here. This is from identified Christ of all ages. I said and read out of the scriptures that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just temporarily, heaven primarily did it, yet showed you that he is supposed to get to this very same thing again in the last days. How many believes that Malachi 4 and all of it is supposed to return back again? Him again, come down and identify himself and a prophet message to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith, the apostolic Pentecostal faith of the fathers. The apostolic Pentecostal faith. You know the Church of Rome claims she's apostolic. You know that? They claim that they carried on from Peter. But that's false. But there is a real apostolic group. And it's not because of it written outside on a board. It's because they have it in their heart. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we believe that with all of our hearts. Now I'm finishing this. Give me a couple of minutes. Fellowship. This is one of the things they taught. Fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 3:9. And to make all men see what is fellowship of the mystery. Fellowship of the mystery which was from the beginning of the world had been hid in God who created all things for Jesus Christ. Now what he's talking about here, he's not talking about some mystery away ahead here to come to pass. He's talking about Christ when he was revealed. That's the mystery that he's talking about. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. That's what he's talking about. Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable even unto his death. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, 6 and 7, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen? Because we're walking in the light and we have fellowship. Aren't you glad you're in fellowship tonight? Amen? See, fellowship with one another, not organization fellowship or sectarian fellowship, but real fellowship with each other and the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Real fellowship. Aren't you glad you have real fellowship tonight? And that you, isn't it a good job that you have this Bible? And you can go into this book of Acts and into the book of Hebrews. And you can read for yourself the apostles' doctrines. So when you hear a man speaking, and you know he is not talking according to the law and according to the prophets, and this Bible says, don't hear him no more, for there's no light in him. Then he's full of darkness. If he's not talking according to the law of prophets, there's no light in him. He's full of darkness. And what fellowship of light with darkness? None. You need to separate. You don't continue on with it. Separate with the darkness. But aren't you glad you have light tonight? And Christ, light in Christ. Let's stand our feet. I'm going to pray just a short prayer. And our brother Gary's going to come and sing a couple of courses, whatever the Lord leads, just for a change. And then we're going to come and pray. And you pray for me, pray for the services. You know, look, God does things for people, and how many of them really come and thank him for it? Let's thank the Lord tonight what he's done for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for the word of God, for the word of truth. We thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you've never changed. We thank you for this fellowship that we have with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ, and fellowship with each other tonight, with fellow like-minded believers, fellowship. Lord, we know we're living in the last days. Many are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Many are tossed to and fro with different winds and waves of doctrine. But Lord, I pray you'll keep us on the sound foundation, on the apostles' doctrine. Help us, Lord, I pray. Give us the eye salve. upon our eyes tonight of the Holy Ghost. Bless and strengthen everyone in this room. Meet every need. Lord, as our brother comes to worship and we people pray, just help us, Lord, to reach you and touch you by faith. And Lord, answer our prayers, we pray. You know the needs people have, financial, spiritual, and physical. I'm asking you to meet every need. Pray, Lord, for the armchair preachers. Lord, it's quick to say things, but they're not quick to come to church. They're not quick to serve you. Pray you'll stir them tonight. Move on the backsliders that once walked with you, but they've gone away, sitting at home, or involved with some worldly affair. Speak to them this evening, Lord, and move them. And draw them again, I pray, unto thyself, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deal with all of our families, children, wives, husbands. Every one of us, bring us closer to you, Lord Jesus. For we know the coming of the Lord's at hand. And you're going to take your wedding bride away. Father, grant the blessing upon Israel. Lord, that you'll be hedge them about on every side. And have your way amongst us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. As a brother comes, God bless.
Just take your seats in for a while, just to be comfortable. Let's sing that little verse, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, he needs to supply, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Reach out.